Hello, and welcome back to the Politics Unboxed podcast. My name is Rhys, and this is episode 33 of the UK News Review section of the podcast. It is the 21st of December as this comes out, and it is time to have a look at, Christmas, COVID rules, and the Conservative Party. I was wondering which alliterative way to go about naming this one, but I think Christmas, COVID and the Conservatives has a certain ring to it. It's going to be another about 15 minutes or so back on this format again, I must admit. Quite enjoying being back for it. Not putting them out in any specific pattern, things like that. But putting them out as and when news sort of builds up into something that I think needs talking about and real unboxing. So, without any further ado, let's jump into episode 33 of the UK News Review Christmas, COVID Rules and the Conservative Party. So yes, just 4 days to go now until December 25th rolls around, or at least as I record this and it goes out. I don't know when you're listening to this. It could be any time in the future, of course, unless we're really good at time travel by then. But I'm going down a rabbit hole already. Today, we're going to be talking about COVID rules around Christmas time and then what this all means for the Conservative Party. Because the news that came out yesterday was there are no new measures in England after an emergency cabinet meeting, but the government is ruling nothing out. And according to Boris Johnson, we will have to reserve the possibility of taking further action to protect the public. The government has needed to reserve the possibility of bringing in new COVID rules in England as the cases of Omicron surge before Christmas, the PM has said. Now, no announcements of new measures, as was perhaps being trailed or even being softened up in press releases, but apparently ministers are looking at all kinds of things, the data being reviewed hour by hour. According to the PM, there are still some things we need to be clearer about before we decide to go further, and he has urged the public to exercise caution. Now, this comes after Monday's COVID cases were reported at 91,743, which is the second highest daily total on record. Now, we have to be careful when we're talking about this. We do not really know what true caseload was like at the start of the pandemic, but this is widely believed to be at least the second highest daily total. It's certainly the second highest on record. We are testing a lot more. We're probably aware of the spread of cases, maybe even hyper aware, as we're hearing about the increased transmissibility of this variant. But all of those are merely caveats on the numbers in relation to other numbers. That number by itself is still incredibly worrying. And as I said at least twice now, the second highest daily total on record. Certainly enough to be worrying or at least concerning to the SAGE group, the Scientific Advisory Group for Emergencies, who are saying new restrictions may be required very soon. They have suggested potentially reducing the size of groups that can meet and closing venues where there's a high risk of transmission. So this would be things like nightclubs, maybe certain hospitality venues, sporting crowds perhaps, work Christmas parties, if they haven't happened already. The thing for the Prime Minister, though, is any restrictions in addition to COVID passes, which nearly 100 of his MPs voted against last week, and sort of the reintroduction of mask wearing, could be very, very fiercely fought against from within and without the Conservative Party. Now, I said earlier, nearly 100 Tory MPs voted against the government's decision to bring in COVID passes last week. At the weekend, Brexit Minister Lord Frost resigned from the government. He's been sort of a totemic figure in Theresa May and Boris Johnson's government in relation to Brexit negotiations. He resigned over what he labelled coercive measures, instituted by the government to tackle coronavirus. And we've seen his resignation causing, if not shockwaves, then certainly ripples amongst Conservative backbenchers. Andrew Bridgen and Steve Baker, influential, they would call themselves, certainly. And I think it's probably fair to say that they are somewhat influential backbenchers in relation to the, I think it's now the Conservative, the Coronavirus Research Group, or something, the Coronavirus Recovery Group, sorry, the CRG, as opposed to their old stomping ground, the ERG, the European Research Group, which used to include Jacob Rees-Mogg, who's now very quiet on the front benches. So Messrs Harper and Bridgen saying Frost was speaking sort of the same things, echoing the concerns of many backbenchers. The Dean Doris in a WhatsApp group tried to stick up for the now, well, didn't try to stick up for Lord Frost, tried to stick up for the Prime Minister, and was unceremoniously removed from that WhatsApp group. Maybe the mood of the party is turning. So, new restrictions. If the party's turning, well, how long is it before they turn and start to pull away from the Prime Minister? Even amongst the Cabinet, there are some very finely balanced arguments, again, according to the Prime Minister, for and against taking action. Now we know Rishi Sunak is fighting hard against taking further action, at least right now, very much with the economy on his mind, as you would expect from the Chancellor of the Exchequer. I'm not sure whether it's coming from an unwillingness to go back to a model of the economy based around furlough, or whether it's a genuine thought that no, they just can't do these sorts of things to businesses. The uncertainty could be crippling. And there are convincing arguments on that side. However, what does seem to be taking a front seat again is the push in favour of greater public health measures. Now, this does feel awfully, awfully similar to this time last year. I hate to be the one to say, I told you so. If we listen back to some of the recordings I was making in the first term of university, around this last 3 months on Expression FM, where I've been doing most of my news and politics output, I was raising that point mainly out of a sort of very British sense of pessimism, certainly around coronavirus maybe, well, certainly around this government as well. I've found, in terms of public health measures, the creeping inevitability of increased COVID restrictions seems to be moving inexorably closer day by day, hour by hour, even, as the Prime Minister says, that's how long they're looking at, that's how short the time span is between looking at data. The Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, he's already called a state of emergency in the capital, in London. He's also urged the government to provide immediate support to businesses in the hospitality, retail and culture sectors to prevent job losses, saying in a tweet, time is running out. Time is running out. But on what? We're not quite certain. We know that time is potentially running short on preemptive public health measures. It's not too long now. If we look at the case rates before we see the lagging indicators of hospitalizations rising, we would imagine. Leak notes from the Scientific Advisory Group for Emergency suggest that without intervention beyond the current Plan B rules in England, hospital admissions could reach 3,000 a day, and that's just for COVID. Now, with that, it is not too far down the line that this becomes a runaway train. And runaway trains, notoriously difficult to stop. There is always a very short time window for proactive public health measures. We've long since passed that. These are now reactive public health measures. The BBC has been told civil servants have been putting out three options for future COVID measures, ranging in severities of low, light touch, to medium and then high, which is almost certainly a full lockdown again. The Deputy PM has refused to guarantee that a circuit breaker lockdown would not be brought in. He said in an interview I believe it was on Mar or on a similar program, either Sunday or Monday, said, "We've said we can't make hard, fast guarantees. It depends on the severity of Omicron cases." Now, this has, of course, meant that Labour and Liberal Democrats have jumped on this. Wes Streeting, Shadow Health Secretary, has accused the Prime Minister of having absolutely nothing new to say, no plan whatsoever. The Liberal Democrat leader, Tared Davies, has said Boris Johnson is providing more and more chaos at a time where people urgently need clarity and reassurance. Now, this is hard to deny. There is nothing coming out of Number 10 by means of concrete proposals at the moment. And whilst it is fine for ministers to take their time and to weigh up the balance of evidence, there comes a point where it goes past taking time and it becomes wasting time. And I worry that we are moving past that without so much as a whisper to it. Now, I know the Prime Minister does not want to be the person who cancelled Christmas 2 years in a row. But he may end up having to be. Whether the nation will listen to him if he cancels Christmas for a second year in a row, given what we now know about last Christmas, I'm not sure. And that leads me on to the next part of this. It's all very well talking about what the government might introduce. What will the public follow? Because we've heard all this before. Some examples are showing that the public are going ahead of the government. We've seen people are, in terms of the foot traffic going into shops, it's lower than you'd expect for this time of year. Even the trend curves of restaurant admissions, they're down on where they were. Certainly 2 years ago, obviously we'd expect that. But on the trend line that was being plotted of the people going out and engaging in hospitality venues, it's sort of dropping off because the public are picking up on, well, if not what the politicians are saying, then what the public health officials are saying. And this sort of backs the government into a corner. If they don't step in, then it's a voluntary lockdown with no government support for businesses. And with so much focus on the economy, it would seem to be that all the money pumped into recovery and revitalisation with the furlough schemes, the business interruption loans, if businesses fail now, all of that money is completely wasted. So it's sort of the government has sunk so much money that it can't afford it to lose. The furlough and recovery schemes are now too big to fail. Even if that means putting more money into it. Because otherwise, people will look back and go, well, why? Why did you put £300 billion into propping up the economy if it was just going to have the rug pulled out from under it when another wave came about? It's a hard one to walk the tightrope of, and I don't envy the government in making their decisions for it. Some Conservative MPs seemingly do. We're looking at people now manoeuvring for the top job. Jeremy Hunt, reportedly on manoeuvres. He would seem to have a certain pedigree for it. I remember thinking back to the 2019 Conservative leadership race between, well, it went down to the wire. I say down to the wire. He got into the final two, Jeremy Hunt versus Boris Johnson. All the parallels between that and what would end up being the 2020 presidential race, looking back now. One candidate who sat upon a mound that you would draw similarities between it and populism, who was very unconventional for the party that they had chosen for, courted controversy. Obviously, Boris Johnson taking the Donald Trump mould there. And the other very straight-laced, some would say boring, with controversies of their own in the past, but of a different nature. nothing so politically inflammatory within their own party. Outside of it, of course, it's like you'd be a rock and a hard place, some would say. But Jeremy Hunt strikes very much in the Biden mould of a man who gives off the appearance of being able to get something done. So him being on manoeuvres means there is something to do. Of course, the familiar candidates will all throw their hats in the ring. I wouldn't be surprised if Michael Gove steps in to do the old leadership hokey-cokey again, and I would not be surprised if once again he falls short. Rishi Sunak, he's been the Good Times Chancellor, giving away money. Maybe he can escape to the top job before he has to take some of the money back to do the old Conservative trick of trying to balance the budget. Liz Truss, the high flyer now in the Foreign Office. I wonder if she'll be eyeing number 10. Priti Patel, again, her hat's in the ring, but for how long? And then we have the Deputy Prime Minister, Dominic Raab, who will almost certainly go for it and will again almost certainly fail. I think he'd be very good on the radio, Dominic Raab. Go back to the Men in Grey Suits Conservative Party. You can listen to him and he sounds all right, but you look at him, he's a deer in the headlights almost all of the time. Either that, or he looks unconscionably smug, and I can't for the life of me think why. Anyway, that's a very personal point about the Deputy Prime Minister and now Justice Secretary. But it does look like the Prime Minister is coming to the end of his tether. We're seeing resignations now. We didn't see resignations before. Maybe there'll be more to come. Maybe the Conservative Party will use him as very much a human meat shield, get through the worst part of Christmas and maybe more restrictions, maybe even into the new year, just to soak up some of that last little vestiges of whatever public animosity is currently lingering around Downing Street's flat parties, and the audacity to call these latest pictures in The Guardian from May 2020 of a wine and cheese gathering in the garden a work event. People at work. Maybe they'll use him as someone to take up the flak and then discard him like a spent piece of body armour when someone new can take charge in the new year. A new year, a new Britain, a new leader. That has a ring to it. It's a ring the Prime Minister should watch out for. Then again, is watching out for public and party opinion the reason we are in this mess of rapidly rising cases and even considering measures in the first place? Maybe if we'd followed rigorously the public health advice and the politicians had backed their public health experts to the hilt, things could have been a little calmer, perhaps. Ifs, buts and maybes. As always, Captain Hindsight strikes again. Although there were people saying this at the time, they were just shouted down as naysayers. Doom and gloom. Didn't believe in Britain enough. Well, I believe the British government is looking a little bit like a mess at the moment. Maybe I'm cynical. Please, change my mind. Show me where everything's going right. Enlighten me. If you can, get in touch. At politics.unboxed on Instagram. At politicsu on Twitter. Politics.unboxed on Facebook. Get in touch. Politics.unboxed at outlook.com. Or www.politicsunboxpodcast.wordpress.com. Get in touch. Tell me. Where am I going wrong? What am I missing? Where's the light at the end of the tunnel? Because at the moment, we seem to be just tunnelling and tunnelling and tunnelling. I'm not sure whether we're going down, up, left, right. I'm not even sure which way is up. What way are we meant to be going? And I keep a handle on what's going on in politics. I think this may well turn an entire generation of people either into zealots or into sort of apathetic, ambivalent observers. One way's better than the other, but not by much. Because zealots rarely change their mind. Who knows? I'm going to leave that one there for today. I've done my usual plugs, but I'm going to add an extra one on the end. If you have a look on Mixcloud, search for rwallace_2001. You can find some of the shows I was recording in Exeter, down at Expression FM, the university radio station, where I had a two-hour show on Wednesdays. I know. They let me loose in front of my microphone for 2 hours of music and news, or, well, pop and politics, you might say. Yeah, I'm never using that again, don't worry. That's not going to appear on merchandise. If I had merchandise, God, maybe I should. That'd be a Christmas present for next year. Get big enough and then I can do my own merchandise. Pipe dream, of course. But no, as I was saying, in all seriousness, all those shows of me rambling for 2 hours are going to be uploaded onto Mixcloud, and I'll be sharing the links on all the socials. But until then, try and stay optimistic. If I don't do a recording before, have a very Merry Christmas. Stay safe. Socialise if you can or feel safe to do so and want to. Enjoy yourselves. Make sure you make time for yourself as well. Sometimes the holiday season gets very, very busy, when all you need to do is just relax, get a glass of something, alcoholic or not. It's completely up to you. And just take the weight off and sit back for a bit. But enjoy yourselves, and hopefully I'll be back in a much more positive bit of news storytelling whenever I return. Goodbye.